Hey, what's up with those two other banks that start with S that failed the same week as SVB? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Okay, their names aren't quite as descriptive as Silicon Valley Bank, the failed financial institution of choice for the startup world, which has dominated headlines this week. But Silvergate Bank, which announced last Wednesday it was shutting down of its own accord, and Signature Bank, the one regulators took control of Sunday, were also known for catering to a certain clientele, cryptocurrency companies. So what does the collapse of two of the crypto-friendliest banks mean for that industry? We asked Laura Shin, a crypto journalist and host of the Unchained podcast.
The crypto world in general is having a lot of trouble getting bank accounts. They're having a lot of trouble with any kind of relationship they might have with banks. And it does seem that the message that we're seeing from regulators, both in kind of formal pronouncements as well as in these different regulatory actions, is that the crypto industry probably should be kind of cut off from the banking system. But the other thing that I've been hearing from different people who work with a lot of different crypto entrepreneurs is that many of them are just going to other jurisdictions. And it does look like Asia is definitely going to be picking up a lot of business in terms of, you know, where a lot of these entrepreneurs are going. So we'll see what happens, but it's definitely a shifting landscape.
How are you hearing all of this playing into arguments about decentralized finance, you know, this kind of idea that underpins crypto?
A lot of people are saying that this kind of proves the risks of centralization and that the crypto community, especially a lot of those entrepreneurs, are kind of doubling down on building the decentralized aspects of the technology or building in a decentralized way. You know, in a way, I think a lot of them actually think that all the failures of the different centralized crypto entities in the last year will ultimately be a good thing for kind of what they want to build and what they're intending to build. You know, I have been seeing that renewed conviction, and I'm waiting to see if they'll be able to deliver on that promise.
Yeah, when we spoke to you sort of at the end of the year last year about what would be ahead for crypto this year, you said that maybe mainstream interest would be waning, but the true believers in the idea were really kind of excited to get back to basics and developing, you know, the tech that underlies these systems. Is this just kind of another purifying fire in that landscape?
Basically, that is kind of how the crypto community is viewing it and treating it. So when you cover this space, there's just certain phrases or jargon that you'll hear over and over again. And so people in the crypto space view centralized things as what they call single points of failure. And so they're constantly trying to build things in, you know, like I said, this decentralized way where there is not a single point of failure, you know, basically building resiliency into the system, building things where you don't have to trust a certain person or entity that they'll do a good job, that the system, just by nature of the way it's been built with all the checks and balances built in, will, you know, function in a way that it doesn't, you know, kind of cause those issues.
Big picture, I guess, how would you describe the effect that the last week has had on the crypto sector?
I would say that it has definitely caused alarm for a lot of startups, especially for those companies that, you know, transact between the two systems. However, I see a lot of them are also tweeting out lists of other companies that are still open to working with crypto companies. And so who knows, maybe we'll see more of that. The only thing that I would say that's not great about that is that one of the reasons that Silvergate was one of the first to go down is simply because a huge, huge percentage of its customer base was in the same industry. And so, you know, for these banks that are now taking a lot of new accounts from different crypto companies, we'll have to see if they become, you know, highly concentrated in terms of their customer base. And hopefully that will not be the case.
Laura Shin, host of the Unchained podcast. We've We've got more on this at our website, marketplacetech.org, where we'll point you to Laura Shin's developing coverage of how the latest bank collapses are affecting crypto over on the Unchained newsletter. Laura mentioned it looks like federal regulators, whether implicitly or explicitly, are sort of cutting off crypto from the traditional banking system. According to reporting from Reuters, New York's financial regulator said the closure of Signature Bank had nothing to do with crypto. In fact, in recent months, the bank had worked to diversify its deposits away from crypto companies. But a long breakdown in Bloomberg News suggests its mere association with the volatile crypto industry may have been enough to spook other depositors into making a run on their money after Silicon Valley Bank's demise. And the collapse of Silvergate and Signature Banks also has implications for the Justice Department's ongoing fraud investigation into FTX. Reuters reports that former FTX customers have filed claims accusing both banks of helping FTX steal and misappropriate their money with the hopes of recouping some of their losses from those banks, but that seems less likely now. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. Jesus Alvarado and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Lydia Morrell is our intern. Becca Weinman is our engineer this week. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.